What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Opinionated, outspoken, informative.
The Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
All right, good morning. It is Saturday, and it is the Jaguar Journal. I am Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us this morning. Listen, winter is over. It is now spring, but it's still chilly out there, isn't it? Pollen all over the place. All of my allergy people, make some noise. If you out there, sneeze for me right now if you got your allergies. Because trust me, it has been getting me. So good morning to everybody out there. Make sure you take your whatever allergy medicine that you have. The pollen, the plants are blossoming. Wash your cars. Get that pollen off your cars, man, and get your stuff together as we continue to move forward in the spring. With the spring, oh, man, that's my favorite time of the year here in Louisiana, man. You start to have an opportunity for seeing the festivals. You get a chance to hang outside. Get a chance to do all the boils, all the grilling. Great time of year. But for my allergy people out there, I understand your pain. I understand what you're going through. The stuffiness, the sneezing, the red eyes, itchy eyes. It get rough on you. It get real rough. Hope everybody had a good week as we are now headed into spring. I am back. Last week, of course, I was out of studio. I was in Atlanta for the SWAC basketball tournament. And we're going to talk about that here on the show today. We're going to talk about Southern's run in the NCAA tournament. We're going to talk about some football. That's what y'all like. It's spring. I'm trying to hint at something. With it being the spring, spring football is right there. And then, we're going to have Coach Chris Crenshaw is going to come on and talk to us about baseball, Southern baseball on the road this weekend over at Prairie View. We're going to have Coach Kevin Johnson come on and talk to us about Southern's men's basketball. We're going to recap the season and then start to look ahead. Season is officially over on basketball side, but for the men's, Coach Johnson, I reached out to Coach Funches, but he hit me back last night saying he did not know how things were going to be moving this morning in terms of them headed back. So I'll try to get Coach Funches next week. And then at 8:30, we're going to have Coach Mark Frederick, the offensive coordinator for Southern University over on the football side. We're going to talk some Southern University football. It's that time of the year, spring football. Of course, you guys are going to be calling in or sitting in, you know, writing something about, hey, how we looking, what all's going on. Well, we're going to slowly but surely try to incorporate what's happening at spring football practice for you guys, the listening audience, to keep up with it. I'm going to talk about March Madness, your brackets. How, if anybody out there, how your brackets looking? Are they in shambles? Are you keeping up? Or did you just not do anything? How about your parlays? I know we got some gamblers out there. Yeah. Are you making 25-leg parlays in this NCAA tournament? I would suggest that you don't. I recommend that you don't make a 25-leg parlay because there's always one team doing something. Even this, it may be the over-under, the spread, whatever the case may be. Or simply the money line. But this is the time of year. It's March Madness, baby. NCAA tournament rocking and rolling. Couple upsets. I just got to give a shout out. Hey, even McNeese turned a lot of heads with a victory in the opening round against Clemson. And really put it to him. Then, of course, Southern University getting its first ever NCAA tournament victory over UC San Diego. We're going to talk about all of that. I got a big show lined up for you guys. Just, you know, y'all just bear with me on this Saturday. I'm getting back in the groove. I was up late last night watching the game, Southern and UCLA. The game here was 9 o'clock. And y'all know, I tell you, I try not to do late nights anymore on Fridays. Aside from last week, I was in Atlanta. I couldn't help myself, okay? Couldn't help myself. All right, let's get ready to take a break. I'm going to continue this thing as I slowly but surely get myself rocking and rolling this morning. Sometimes it take a little second to crank up. Sometimes I just sound like I'm saying anything. So give me a second. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to get adjusted and get us rocking and rolling. All right, stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, it's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. It is rocking and we're rocking and rolling. It is Saturday. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys listening and watching with us. Everybody out there listening on 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Glad to have you guys and everybody out there watching on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook Live. Glad to have you guys with us as well as we continue to get things going. It is March Madness currently. You know what that means? NCAA is rocking and rolling. The NIT, the WNIT. There's a lot of things going on right now as we come to the end of basketball, right? This is the last thing we're holding on to. Baseball is in full swing. And, of course, we're going to have Coach Chris Crenshaw come on and talk to us about Southern University baseball, and then I'll look around the conference at some of the teams. But because it is March Madness, let's pull out the brackets. Anybody did some brackets? I got a whole group going right now of all of us with our brackets. Last night, last I checked, I was in first place. Now, you know how things change. Teams win, teams lose. You never know what you're going to get. But last night, I was in first place. I didn't feel any type of way. I felt good about where I was with the teams that I picked. Now, we all know when it comes to March Madness, sometimes you never know where it's going to go. And I'm still in first place. I just picked it up. I'm just looking at it right now. You never know where it's going to go. You got to kind of go with your heart and not really what the stat line or the seedings look like. So let's start in the South region, right, for Perry. This is my bracket. I had Auburn, who was the number one seed. Alabama State, shout out to Alabama State. Did you guys check out that Alabama State at St. Francis game? Came down to the last play of the game with about a minute left, a second left on the clock. Bama State tips it in, takes the lead, and get their first ever NCAA tournament victory. And, of course, 16 playing a 16 in the first 16 in, you get the number one seed. And I had Auburn over Alabama State. Auburn with a 30-point victory, 83-63 over Alabama State. Here's one where I picked Creighton over Louisville. I went with Creighton, who was the ninth seed, over eighth seed Louisville. And Creighton won 89-75. I picked Michigan, who was the fifth seed, over 12th seed UC San Diego. UC San Diego had both men and women's basketball team in this year's tournament. Michigan barely held on, 3-point victory. I took Texas A&M over Yale, 80-71 as the number four Aggies moved on. Here's one. North Carolina was in that first four game as well as the 11 seed. Came out. Listen, took on San Diego State, beat the people by 40. Ole Miss is a team who I saw in the SEC tournament. Crazy ending in that quarterfinal game against Arkansas. Did you guys see that? Where Ole Miss knocks down a three as time gets ready to expire to move on to the next round to take on Auburn. But North Carolina looked damn good in that first game. I actually picked them in this one over Ole Miss. I thought maybe, you know, Ole Miss has shown throughout the season they can't compete with some of the best teams in the country. They're the sixth seed. They got it done over North Carolina. This is my first mistake right here. Ole Miss gets it 71-64. I had Iowa State, the number three seed, over Lipscomb. Iowa State wins 82-55. I had another one. Here's another one. Number seven Marquette over number 10 New Mexico. New Mexico gets the victory 75-66 and moves on to the next round. And here's a team I have not paid attention to all year. Didn't even realize they were that good, but now they're in my face. Michigan State, the Spartans. I forgot about Michigan State. I'm so caught up in SEC basketball being in the South and SWAC, I just completely missed out on Michigan State being the number two seed, but I picked them, of course, just by the name. 87-62 over Bryant, number 15 seed. So in the round of 32 coming out of the South, I have Auburn versus Creighton. I got that. I got Michigan versus Texas A&M. I messed up with the North Carolina, so it's Ole Miss versus Iowa State. I got that. Then I messed up with Marquette, New Mexico over Marquette, and I have New Mexico and Michigan State. So far, two mess-ups on my bracket. That's just out of the South. All right, let's move over to the West. Number one, Florida taking on the number 16 seed, Norfolk State, winners of the MEAC. Norfolk with a great season, 1-point victory in the MEAC championship over South Carolina State. They found themselves in the NCAA tournament, did not have to play in the first 16 game. And Florida flexed their muscles to show why they was the number one seed in this one. 95-69, I went Florida. Here's another one I picked. 8-9, very tricky right there with UConn and Oklahoma. I went UConn over Oklahoma, 67-59. The Huskies continue to move on for me. Memphis let me down. Number 5 seed Memphis against 12 seed Colorado State. Colorado State with the upset. 78-70. Memphis, what's going on? 0-3 in your last three NCAA appearances. I took Maryland, who was the fourth seed, 81-49 over number 13 Grand Canyon. Here's my upset right here where I got it right. Drake over Missouri, right? Missouri had a phenomenal turnaround. They were a team last year that was just horrible in the SEC. Then they turned it around this year, became a top 25 team. But something in me said Perry picked Drake. The number 11 seed versus the number 6 seed, I took Drake over Missouri, and it paid off 67-57. Drake moves on to the next round. I took Texas Tech, number 3 seed, over North Carolina Wilmington, 82-72. Hey, here's another one. Y'all know when I say I have my favorite Confederate teams, you know I'm a big Arkansas Razorback fan. How about the Razorbacks and Coach John Calipari? In year one, down to seven guys on the rosters, made a tough push in the SEC tournament, and then got a chance to go against Bill Self and the legendary Kansas Jayhawk program. The Razorbacks hang on 79-72 in an upset 10th seed over the 7th seed. First time Kansas has been knocked out of the opening round. And then St. John over Nebraska, Omaha, 82-53. So the way things are looking in the next round of 32 coming out of the West, I got it right. Florida over UConn. Florida versus UConn. Memphis let me down, so it's Colorado State. Maryland. I got Drake and Texas Tech right there together. And I got Arkansas and St. John. So far in my bracket, I got three mess-ups. Just three. Let's keep it moving. Let's go to the East. Duke over Mount St. Mary's. Of course, Duke right now. Woo, looking good. 93-49. I picked Baylor in that 8-9. Baylor over Mississippi State, 75-72. I took Oregon over Liberty, number 5 seed, Oregon, 81-52 over Liberty. Arizona finally stepped up. Akron was a pretty good team coming out of the MAC. I had checked them out as the season went on. They were a really good team, but no match for Arizona. 93-65 as the number 4 seed defeats the number 13 seed. Here's another one where I thought I was going to get another upset with that 11-6. VCU versus BYU. We have seen VCU in the NCAA tournament turn some heads over the years. But BYU got it done. This was my first mistake on this one. 80-71 BYU. I took Wisconsin, the number 3 seed, over Montana, 85-66. I took St. Mary's, the 7 seed, over Tennessee Vanderbilt, 59-56. And, of course, I took the Alabama Crimson Tide, the number 2 seed, over Robert Morris, in which they won 90-81. So if we move on to the round of 32, now in the East, I got it right. Duke versus Baylor, Oregon versus Arizona. Here's a slash, BYU beat VCU. And then, and they'll take on Wisconsin. And I have St. Mary's versus Alabama. So I'm not doing so bad right now, ladies and gentlemen. But let's go to the Midwest and check things out. And go through your brackets with me. Let me know how you're doing. Check your parlays. Number 1, Houston over Edwardsville, 78-40. Of course, I went with Houston. I took number 8. That 8-9 is a tricky one. And that 11-6 is a tricky one. I took Gonzaga, the number 8 team, 89-68 over number 9, Georgia. Just wasn't impressed with Georgia. How about this one? Some told me to go with Will Wade. I just figured Clemson was going to get it done. McNeese took off on him in the first half, and Clemson battled back as much as they could in the second half. Still fell short. I mean, all the way down to the end. McNeese with the upset. 12 seed versus the number 5 seed, 69-67. McNeese with their first ever NCAA tournament victory. Move on, and Will Wade, of course, now moving on to NC State. Curious to see how long he's going to stay with this program with the success that they're having. I took number 4, Purdue, over High Point, 75-63. Here's another one where I rolled with Illinois. Illinois early on in as the season started, looked like a really good team. 86-71 over Xavier, the 11 seed. Kentucky moves on over Troy, number 3, Kentucky, 76. Number 14 seed, Troy, 57. I took UCLA over Utah State. And Tennessee, the number 2 seed, 77-62 over Wofford. All right, as we move on to the round of 32, I have Houston and Gonzaga right. McNeese snuck me. They're going to have a tough one over Purdue. I got Illinois and Kentucky, which I think is going to be a really good game, and UCLA over Tennessee. How you guys looking thus far? How you looking thus far? Because sound like so far I'm doing all right. I'm not too far off. I'm doing all right. I'm still first place in my group. Now, the games today, I don't know what to tell you. You're on your own, right? I don't know what to tell you today. But I'm just saying, anybody with a perfect bracket, do those still exist? 121 people with perfect brackets? Less than 1%? Woo! I take them to the casino with me so far. But it's just the opening round. Let's see how far things go. Once again, shout out to McNeese. Getting it done here for the state of Louisiana on the men's side. But that's the NCAA tournament right there for you. March Madness, it hadn't really showed its head too much. I told you there was a couple upsets. My biggest one so far was Drake getting the victory over Missouri. And then I'll take Arkansas over Kansas. Now, Arkansas is going to have their hands full today with Rick Pitino and St. John, a team that can play some great defense. All right, let's take a break. That's enough for March Madness until the 8 o'clock hour. But now let's talk some baseball. So let's get ready to take a break, and I'll come back on the other side. I'm going to have Southern University head baseball coach, Coach Crenshaw, talk to me about some swag baseball and what they're doing this weekend in the series against Prairie View. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. Good morning to everybody. It's the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. It is 7:33 a.m. here, Central Standard Time. Good morning to everybody listening out there on 107.3 FM around the Baton Rouge Capital City area and everybody watching across the world on our YouTube channel and our Facebook Live. Good to have you guys. Be sure to go hit that subscribe button and hit that like and follow as you continue to keep up with us and we grow together. And as we continue to show this morning, very special guest, he is the head baseball coach over at Southern University. Want to welcome to the show this morning. He's on the road, my man, Coach Crenshaw. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, man, listen, you guys are on the road. It's been some time since I had an opportunity to talk to you on the radio, but I get a chance to catch you out all the time, man, when we're out and about. Listen, the Jaguars right now on the season, 8-11 overall, 1-3 in conference play. You guys are on the road this weekend at Prairie View. But let's take a look back last week, Coach, as you guys took on – hold on, let me see where I'm at. Lost where I'm at. Matter of fact, I'm looking at the wrong thing. You had Alabama State last week, correct?
Yeah.
Alabama State at home at Lee Hines Field. The game, you had two games moved to Friday because of weather, but then you were able to move forward and play a Sunday game. Let's go back and look at those two games against Alabama State, a team that's pretty tough in this conference. You fall short in the first one, 14-8, and 18-12 in the second one, but then you win that Sunday game, 11-3. Let's look at that series against a pretty tough Alabama State team, Coach.
Well, first off, the wind was blowing out probably about 45 miles an hour. Those first two games was a little bit of a home run derby because of the wind. All you had to do was touch it and get it up in the air, and it was getting out of there. They took advantage of it. We couldn't get a stop. And when we did get a stop, it was late in the game, and we made a run to get back in it, but we didn't stop them enough early enough to come out on top.
I look back at even at that midweek game against UL. You guys fought hard, and that was 7-5 as you fall short over at UL. What are you seeing with your team as, you know, you're starting to get through the season. You're now in conference play. What are you learning about this team, and what is this team learning about itself that you can see from a coaching position?
That we can score some runs. We just got to find a way to stop somebody. I thought pitching would be one of our strengths, and right now I just got to find the right mix of guys to get in the game in certain situations to help us try to win a game. I think once I figure out who those guys are, we'll be okay.
You know, as a mind of a coach, for people that's out there listening, because for a lot of us, it's so easy to criticize coaches, and it's so easy for us to say what we would do, but there's a difference when you're the coach, you're looking at your roster, you're recruiting these guys, you're at practice, you're talking to these guys each and every day. As you go through developing and then saying, all right, I'm watching this guy get better as the season goes on, or I'm watching a guy not get better as the season go on, or you know what, it's just best, let me give this guy an opportunity. Let's just throw him in the fire and see how he performs. What goes into the decision-making as a coach, especially on the baseball side of how you line up your roster on any given game day, because you guys play so many games throughout the week and during those weekend series, to where, you know, you're feeling comfortable enough being able to put a guy in a position to see if he can succeed that particular game or in that particular series?
So, well, I mean, I pay attention to how they work and what they're working on, and making sure that we're having conversations to let them know, hey, this is where you'll be getting in the game, or this role is what you'll be in. And sometimes you got to trust your eyes, and sometimes you got to trust your gut. I've been trusting my eyes and missing, coming up short on making decisions. So I just got to get back into the feel of the game and understand who we have. It's a bunch of new guys. And early in the year, I was just putting guys in, putting them in the fire to see how they would respond. Well, now it's more so the character of the person and, like, his demeanor that determines where he goes in now.
You know, I look at on the Major League Baseball side, and Coach Kadar talks to me about this all the time, about how baseball, and it goes back to what you're talking about from what a coach can see and how he feels more to the analytics. And it seems on the Major League side that analytics plays a huge part in the decision-making of rosters and everything else. How much does analytics play a part for you on the collegiate side and more in particular for your program?
If we have that information and it's presented in front of us, then, yeah, I'll look at it. But where we at right now, we really don't have anything like that where we can, like, really just do make decisions based off the analytics like they do in the big leagues. They actually have, like, five or six people in those roles that put all those numbers together to give to the coach so he can look at the information. We don't have anything like that yet. That would be something that I would like to get, but, you know, in order to get stuff like that and try to improve what you have, you got to win. And the goal is to get a championship. And I get that championship, that's something that I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask for somebody who I can put in the analytics spot that knows what's going on and can read the data and break it down and share it to me and the team. I mean, I understand it, but we'll have to school and teach my assistant coaches and the players how to look at it to put it into information to where they can use.
Let me ask you, as we begin to look at this team and things unfold as we get into swag play, let's start with the infield. Let's go first, second, shortstop, third base, back around to our catch and pitch. Give us some names of some guys as you're watching and you're saying you're going with your heart and you're going with your mind when you're making decisions of some guys making plays and that you see growing up for you just starting with the infield.
So his first baseman, senior Dylan Jones, is coming into himself. He's got 5 home runs on the year. Right now he's out. He got injured against Incarnate Word. So we're playing a freshman right now, Brent Stewart, at first base. At second base, we got KJ White, who was our shortstop last year. He's moved over to second base. Him and EJ Gregory and Jalen Mack all battling for that. And at shortstop, we got a freshman, Benny Bacar. He's been playing solid. He's out this weekend. His grandfather passed away, so he went home for his funeral. And then at third base, we got a new guy as well, but he's a senior. But he's new to the program, Taj Bates. And he's hitting in a 3-hole for us, leading us in RBIs and batting average, I believe. And catching, we got a senior. We got 2 seniors and a freshman that's all contributing right now because trying to figure out who's going to give us the best, who's going to be the best for us at the catcher spot. And right now, each one of them is catching a game for us on the weekend, but we need to lock in and it'd be one person that we can get in the offense, get in the lineup consistently and get consistent at bats. And then in the outfield, in right field, we got returning Cameron Bird. He's playing right field. In center field, we got another returner that didn't play a whole lot, but Jacoby Radcliffe. And he's been swapping out with a new guy. That we have Cardell Thibodeau, who's leading the team in home runs. He's up there in RBIs and batting average as well. I think he had 8 home runs. He hit a grand slam yesterday. And then left field, we got a new guy, Jalen Lucky. He's doing all right. He was 0-for-4 yesterday. He hit a ball that probably was a home run that got robbed yesterday that would may have been a big boost for us offensively yesterday. But the outfielder from Prairie View jumped up and caught it and brought it back in the park. So, we got a lot of new faces all over the place that we're depending on. That right now, they're doing it. And on the mound, we got Renard Grace, who's leading the bunch. He had 10 strikeouts yesterday in 6 innings. And we got it's new to him, Nile Banks. He's a senior, been here 3 years, struggling, and this year he's having some success. He started for us in the second game. And in the third game, Nick Lucky is senior. He's been here the whole time working and getting better and improving. His senior, he's a weekend starter for us. He threw a complete game last weekend against Alabama State. And I'm pleased and I'm happy with him. In the bullpen is where we got a whole bunch of new faces. We returned probably 2 or 3 guys that threw last year more than 12 innings for us. And we got a bunch of new faces back there trying to help us close games out. I got to find the right mix, but Peyton Huff is one of the guys that was a freshman last year, sophomore this year, that's holding it down. And he's going out there keeping it close for us and giving us a chance.
I look back, you guys went off to Georgia and took on Mercer. Mercer's a team who I saw with a big midweek game and got a victory this week. But Looking at that game in Mercy, you guys went over and got a victory. What did you see in this team and a team playing against that competition, even like Mercer?
That we can, we had the confidence that we can go out and score, that we can play with anybody. We just got to put it all together. I got, like I said, it goes back to me making the right decision, putting people in the game at the right time for us to win the game and have a chance to win the game at the end.
And looking at you guys, and it sounds like the veteran players, your vets at the outfield, it sounds like a lot of infield players, like you said, a lot of young guys. So that comes with the growing pain. That comes with the experience of constantly getting in. Looking at the series this weekend against Prairie View, of course, we all saw what happened with Prairie View. They had a brawl against Jackson State, and some players were suspended and the whole thing out of that. But when you look at this team, what do you see out of Prairie View scouting them this weekend?
They athletic. Those guys playing with a chip on the shoulder. And the guys, they only lost one player that really benefit. They really played hard. Those other guys that got suspended really aren't guys that they, like, have a lot of weight on their shoulders to perform for them. But other than that, they got their whole team. Is one guy mainly that they're missing. But they playing hard. They played quality defense yesterday. And yesterday, game came down to one mistake, basically. We gave up a home run, but we also threw a ball away that extended the lead. If we make that play, on the ball we throw away, it's 7-5, and we still got a chance, and there's still some pressure on them to make pitches and make plays behind them. But when you get a lead and it's four runs or more late in the game, you can kind of throw fastballs and let guys get themselves out. And basically, that's what they did yesterday, the last two innings. We had a couple chances, but hey, we came up short. Baseball is different than basketball and football. We got back at it again today at 2 with a chance to tie the series up. And we got to come out, take care of business early, and then get ready for Sunday.
As the legendary coach Roger Kadar would say, baseball is a game filled with failures. You're going to have a lot of them as a player and everything else. Hey, for all my Jaguar fans out in Houston and Texas area, be sure to get over there today and support Coach Crenshaw and Southern University baseball. First pitch today, 2 o'clock out at Prairie View, and then tomorrow as they close out the series. First pitch is going to be at 1 p.m. tomorrow at Prairie View. Then you guys will be in Lake Charles on Tuesday taking on Magnese State. So all our Lake Charles people and everybody in that area, be sure to come out to Magnese at Joe Miller Ballpark on this Tuesday, pitch at 6 p.m. to cheer on Southern versus Magnese. And then you guys are back on the road again next week, Coach, at Daytona, taking on Bethune-Cookman. So it'll be a while before you're back at home. So I'm hoping the Jaguar Nation in all of these different areas with Lake Charles and Houston for sure come out and support you guys. I don't know how deep we are out in Florida, particularly that Daytona Beach area. But nonetheless, you guys are on the road, and that's my last question. Taking the team on the road so much, and we know, hey, in baseball, especially for those northern teams, this time of the year, they're on the road a lot. But for you guys, what is that like, and how do you keep you guys going being on the road so much at this time of the year?
It's a bit much. Last week we had midterms going on, trying to keep those guys locked in, but also letting them know, hey, you got to take that midterm. Miss practice or you late for the game, you got to do it. I'm always pushing academics. Those guys understand that. But, I mean, it's something the SWAC office has to look at. I brought it to their attention. The last 3 years, I'm the only team that's been on the road 3 straight weekends in a row in conference play. I looked at everybody else's schedule for the last 3 years. Nobody's done that. I'm the only one every year that's on the road back-to-back-to-back weekends conference play in. I mean, it takes a load on the team. You got to get on the bus, and ride 3-5 hours instead of waking up in your own bed consistently. But it is what it is. We got to make the best. We had a good crowd in Mercer from the alumni base out there in Atlanta. They showed up in Mercer. Then we played at home. We had a good weekend against St. Peter's where we swept all 3. And then Alabama State, of course, we was at home. But we got this weekend, and I haven't heard from anybody in the Daytona Beach area about showing up, but they do send the alumni base do send emails, and they ask about when we get there and the times and stuff where they can come show support or bring food or whatever. So that has been good. I can't complain about that at all. It's another thing I wanted to share. I picked up my 100th win last weekend against Alabama State.
Congratulations, Coach.
I appreciate it. It's a big deal in the baseball world, any coach, in any part of it. All 100 at Southern University. I'm proud of that. And it was definitely felt good to pick up.
Congratulations to you, man, picking up your 100th victory. I hope, hey, let's get 100 more. Come on, let's.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm pulling for you, man. Let's get 100 more on top of that one. How about that?
Hey, I'm down for that.
Man, Coach, I appreciate you coming on this morning, man. I know it's early, but, man, you guys are on the road, and you're talking about having to get your team prepared. You guys are at Prairie View today. First pitch at 2 o'clock. All of our Jaguar Nation fans out in that Houston area, be sure to get over there and support Southern versus Prairie View today and tomorrow. Coach, thank you for coming on this morning, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me get it out there.
Yes, sir. That's my man, Coach Chris Crenshaw, Southern University head baseball coach. Let's get ready to take a break, and we'll come back on the other side as we get ready to close out the 7 o'clock hours. You guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. We're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Glad to have you guys with us as we continue to keep things going. I'm Perry White, and this is 107.3 FM here in the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Everybody out there listening and watching on our YouTube channel and all across, be sure to go and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube at the Jaguar Journal. We're also on X and Instagram at the Jaguar Journal _. And just simply type in, if you got Facebook, Jaguar Journal, and keep up with us on all across those, man. Look, we'd love to have you to continue to keep up as we are growing here on the Jaguar Journal. Excuse me. And keeping it pushing. Something I saw real quick before we get to the top of the hour I wanted to talk about. It was, once again, right? It is Southern, but I want to talk about the impact that I've seen with McNeese State and their victory over Clemson in the NCAA tournament. Of course, they got their first victory in the NCAA tournament Thursday, as they knocked off fifth seed Clemson 69-67. But I saw something about the McNeese State University website crashed after countless fans from around the country and the world flocked to the website to learn about the university. How awesome is that? And then to listen to their president say, they did the analytics and they found after that victory, they estimate that they have generated nearly $50 million in free advertisement towards McNeese State University. This begins to show the power of what the NCAA tournament can be. Because how often do we look at the tournament every year in March Madness and there's a school and we say, who the hell is that? Where the hell are they? Can I say hell? Is that a good word? Can I say? All right. Just don't want to get in trouble. But I ask that to myself when I see some of these teams. I'm like, who the hell is this team? Never heard of them. Don't know where they at. Got to go on my phone. You remember that team, St. Peter's? They were like the gang. No, they was some type of peacock or something. Every time I think about the peacock, I think about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Carlton was walking around in that peacock mascot outfit. But every year, it asks us, we have these questions where we ask, who are these teams? And it shows the power of this tournament just looking at what McNeese has decided to do and following the analytics, over $50 million in free advertisement from this. Their website crashed to so many people trying to go figure out who they were. Along with their team managers signing NIL deals with Buffalo Wild Wings, TurboTax, Insomnia Cookie, and countless others. And you best to believe this helps for a school like McNeese, who is having a decline in enrollment. Man, this shows how big this time of the year. It shows why you take athletics serious, because athletics is the front door. It is the front porch to any institution. this right here is what makes it special about why you have to take athletics serious, why you got to go out and win those games, and why you got to invest in your programs and support. Because when you do things like this, it comes back tenfold for your institution. Let's get ready to take a break. We'll come back going to the top of the hour. You guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.